Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Mighty Joe Young.
1949.
Yes. No year on it. We don't have to put the year on it. You told me that the one from
We say the year every time. That's like my part.
No,
you
I mean that's
I say the year.
The title of the episode. Because you told me that the remake was on TV the other night.
Oh yeah.
Which was like what,
right after I watched this one.
Like 1998, yeah. We'll have to put that in parentheses on that one. I haven't seen that one. And I realized I've seen Mighty Joe Young, this one, before, but remembered zero information from the movie. I don't remember this movie at all when I rewatched it.
I remember two parts of it.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
The cowboys lassoing and the lion attack.
The one where they're throwing the coins at him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the one where he's in the back of the truck and he keeps pulling the curtain aside and like, and he would like kind of like yell at the people chasing him or whatever. He'd like, go out. I thought that was so funny when I was little. Him in the back of the truck was so funny to me.
It was making me anxious because those guys were still being able to like,
yeah, they're
pretty
still close
to shoot.
Yeah, they definitely had to. Yeah, they definitely were keeping up the suspense.
Yeah, I literally remember nothing about this movie, and I don't know why, because I saw it maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago for the first time.
I mean, yeah, as I watched more of it, I was going, oh, yeah, there's a guy who's going to rip a phone book.
Those guys are great.
Yeah.
The strongman. The Swedish guy, was he wearing prosthetics, or was that guy's real head?
No, that's his face.
That's crazy.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever see Crank 2 with Jason Statham? There's a whole like kind of Godzilla sequence in the movie. It's Jason Statham fighting another dude, but they look like they're like giant versions of themselves, and Jason Statham has like a giant cartoony head of his head.
Whoa.
And that's what that guy looked like.
Yeah. Swedish angel.
Yeah. Like if you look up Crank 2 Godzilla.
Hold on, I'm trying to find out. I wrote that guy's name down. Phil Olofsson.
Yeah. He looked like
Crank.
Just type in Crank 2 Godzilla and do the image search. And you guys could do this at home too.
Oh, it's like
Big Man Japan. Whoa.
What'd you say?
Big Man Japan.
No, I was gonna say it's like
DC Follies.
Those movies based on the comic book that had
Sin City.
Yeah, it's like the Sin City. Movie.
But yeah, that dude's face reminded me of that. Those guys were great. Except I didn't like the guy. Okay, let's get into this because this is from the guys who made King Kong and Son of Kong.
Yeah.
And one of the things we noticed in those two movies was that there's not a lot of sympathy towards the character Kong.
Right.
Even like Carl Denham has no remorse. And this movie is kind of the opposite of that. Robert Armstrong, once again, is exploiting a giant ape. To put on a show and to become, you know, famous and stuff. But I feel like in this movie, he's a little bit more remorseful of what he's done.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah, he was, like, remorseful. Yeah,
he feels bad.
He's kind of remorseful at the end of King Kong. And then he feels sorry for himself at the beginning of Son of Kong.
Yeah.
Because he's had to pay so much.
Yeah, and damages.
Yeah, but he's definitely like he feels sneakier in this one. Like you should trust him less in this one.
Yeah,
the way like he's like, oh, just, but you gotta at least let me finish out. You gotta at least finish out the whatever the contract, right? They're just do me this favor, and then it's like still nothing. Yeah,
yeah. The I have a question about Joe. Is he supposed to be a giant gorilla? He's a giant gorilla, correct?
Yeah.
He's bigger than average size. Okay. Because a lot of times they just refer to him as a gorilla. And I didn't know if, like, the size was, you know, meant to be, like, they don't say, check out this giant gorilla. They just call him a gorilla.
I think he's the biggest gorilla they've seen.
Yeah. Ray Harryhausen is the first technician on this film.
Yeah.
Looks great. Looks great. They do all those tricks.
I'm not sure exactly what he did, because according to the opening credits, Mr. Joseph Young was played by himself.
Oh. Okay.
There's that.
Yeah.
This was great. I thought he looked more like a gorilla than King Kong did, mm-hmm. for one thing, in the sculpt. That was cool.
Yeah, his face is a little more animated, more along the lines of Son of God or Son of Kong. Some parts looked a little bit goofy, but for the most part, I like the young Joe had a definite personality.
Yeah, they gave him some pretty emotive eyes.
Yeah, and seems like he just wants to help people. He's not a fan of cages, we know that.
Well, I was trying to figure out if he was trying to help the lions in the cage or he was fucking with the lions in the cage.
I think he was trying to free him, but didn't know how. And
the lions didn't know what they were doing because he tried to bite them, but they just got pissed and he tipped them over.
Yeah.
He's like, fine, I'm trying to help you. You don't help me? Then fine, go ahead. And they make it worse for you.
Yeah.
No, in fact, let me crack this open so I can beat you a little bit.
I don't know how in 1949 or whenever they animated this in 48, how they were able to do the timing of these shots. Because it'll be like one shot.
It's just really creative work of positioning real actors or real sets with, I'm guessing there's like a screen in the back to match to.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think it was like a projection in the back, and then they would act in the foreground of it the way like you would see people do like driving.
Mm-hmm.
Only.
But I love that like even in that lion scene, so you have the live action lion in the cage, and then you have Joe Young and he's messing with the cage and the cage is moving at the same time and he's pushing it, and then like the animated lion jumps out of the cage but behind it so that they can have the real lion kind of run off camera.
Right.
And so, and then the whole time this is going in the foreground, there's like a running river. Like it's just
there's
a cool
so much
shot.
Of it that's like these like magic trick kind of things that they did that were just so cool. And sometimes you can see like the flash, you can kind of see like, oh, I kind of caught where they screwed up a little bit, like where they couldn't do it this way, but you know, but so much of it was done really well.
I always love when like when a puppet person is set down behind Joe and then the real actor comes out from behind, like they do a replacement. Yeah. There was a really good one towards the end? It's when Joe was holding onto a person and the puppet leg lined up exactly with the real actor leg. It was like seamless. It was really cool.
Yeah, there's really good work of that stuff in this.
Like, I don't know how you can do that. Like, just having to, like, figure it all out and then set it up and then go through the whole stop motion process and just hope it turns out right. Like, it just seems like a lot of work. And it's appreciated, for sure. So we open up in Africa.
Yeah.
We also visit a chop suey place.
Yeah, well, first of all, we just want to hit all the racism at once.
I mean,
it's like Africa was one thing, and I was like, I forgot that after Africa that the New York Africa scenes would be worse.
Yeah.
The guy who's working the front door. His Africa themed nightclub.
Yeah.
Boy. Oh, and yeah, that's the other thing. It's like they're at the Chop Suey restaurant and you're like going, oh, I they're going to get through this whole scene without a bit of racism. And at the very end, the guy comes in.
He says his broken English and turns towards the camera. So terrible. We all know. Okay, that's out of the way. That nightclub, it confused me. Was it a matte painting? Was it not a matte painting? It appeared to be a matte painting of some sort.
The club itself?
Yeah, like...
I think it was like a soundstage. I think that was like...
Okay.
Well, you mean the front of it?
No, the first shot of inside, and it looks like this crazy grand, like... It looks painted.
A lot of was built. It looks like there's a lot that was built. Yeah. The way the amount that gets destroyed at the end.
Yeah.
I think a lot was built.
It just looked painted. I don't know.
I think whatever's like were the lines in that shot that you're talking about? Like the stuff behind the lines was definitely like a painted set. Yeah, it's like a
projected or something.
Man, I felt so bad for all the animals in this movie.
Yeah, I was watching and I'm like, oh man,
so many animals that are forced to, they're like stuff crashing on top of lions, the horses that get knocked down so many times,
the lion that lands on the table.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. I was like, I don't think I can, like, this isn't a movie I can revisit. It's just too unsettling.
yeah, it's. Yeah, it's rough. Yeah. a lot of destruction too. It's hard watching these. I feel like with King Kong, there were natives and they probably weren't, you know, the most PC. But I think all the animals that fought in the movie were stop motion. Like, we only got like lizards in King Kong. And then in Son of Kong, we do get the monkey band, which was sad. But then Son of Kong fights, or Kiko fights a bunch of, stop motion bears and pterodactyls and stuff.
Yeah.
But this movie, it's like, okay, I know some of the lions are stop motion, and maybe some of the horses, I don't know. But there's definitely some real lions getting tossed around. And I wasn't cool with it either. It makes it real rough. Maybe this is why I haven't watched it in like 10 years. But try to focus on the positive.
Yeah.
Which is the stop motion stuff.
Like stop motion Nigel Young fighting stop motion lions is cool. I would have enjoyed it more if the real lions weren't getting tossed around those scenes.
There was one.
I was like, man, that looks really great. You just made me uncomfortable again.
There was definitely one like fake lion that was thrown across the room.
Yeah,
because you could see it was like a stuffed animal.
Oh yeah, but the one that lands on like what the fuck is that? Yeah. Yeah, the other lions are looking at.
But the one that lands on the table, I feel is like definitely they dropped a lion on a table.
Yeah, that does not look like they faked that.
That's not good. But then also, like, I feel bad for the fake stop motion Joe Young. Like the scene with where they're throwing the coins. I'm like, oh, this sucks. And when they put Joe in the cage.
He was so exploited, worse and worse.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I was looking, you know, would be a great fantasy collector's piece? Would be one of those music boxes that's like a little like figure that spins around in a circle.
Uh-huh.
And it's Joe Young holding up the stage with the piano on it.
Oh yeah,
and it plays "Beautiful Dreamer."
Oh, that would be cool.
That'd be the coolest looking thing. I was like, that'd be such a great, like, if they had it as like a vintage thing.
Yeah,
because like, you know, the ones that had like the little pedestals that spins, it'd be so cool looking. There was someone on like DeviantArt that made like a model of one, but it wasn't like a music box, and they painted it like realistic instead of like.
That'd be cool if you could get it to rise up. Out of the box.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking it was like the standee.
Still neat.
It's like so many, like how many, like they kept, like the act kept changing and developing.
Yeah, because they were doing what, 17, their 17th
17 weeks. You say promised 10 weeks, and then cuts to they've done 17 weeks so far.
Yeah, which made it sad. Every time you saw that neon sign, the 17 weeks, you're like, oh, that's just more sad.
Worse.
I felt so bad for Joe Young, even though he's a stop-motion puppet. The worst was when they threw the drunk guy threw the champagne bottle at its head.
Oh, right.
That was just like clank. Like it didn't sound
that
like
was another good magic trick effect where he hands him the bottle. He just kind of like has his back to like the camera. And then you see, Mighty Joe Young. He's got the bottle in his hand.
Yeah. Or when she throws the bananas.
The bananas, the bananas at the end is funny because you can see the banana go flying off screen.
Oh, the one that she threw? Yeah.
Yeah, like I remember I think when I had seen this recently, I had Instagrammed it once in slow motion or somewhere. I was like, you see the banana go right past
the puppet.
Go fly off screen, but he already is holding it.
I don't understand how they do the lasso stuff where you have a human holding onto a rope. And then Joe holding on to the other end of the rope. I'm assuming maybe the guys have ropes lassoed around just like a post or something. And then they just make sure that the animation lines up with the other side of the rope.
With the strongman? We're talking about the strongman part?
The strongman and the lassos from the cowboys.
Oh, you mean
so well
when
done.
They catch him at the beginning?
Yeah.
That sequence was really great. There's great shots of like the animated Joe does something, and you see in the shot behind him that was, composited with it is the cowboy getting yanked off his horse somehow.
Uh huh.
And those bits were really well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of monsters and cowboys. As a theme, mm-hmm. is pretty great. Like
Guanji,
yeah, the Guanji movie.
Yeah, we should watch that. I'm wondering if that's on our list. It should be.
It should be.
Yeah,
it's got to be, right?
Yeah. I don't have a lot of notes for this one because a lot of it just made me sad.
Oh. And you're definitely supposed to hate the kind of people that go to this club, it seems like. Like, Max O'Hara really attracts the worst of New York's leisure class.
Yeah, that
there's, like, so much, like kind of, like, misogynistic things the guys are saying. And those drunks are awful.
They're the worst.
Their drunk is so exaggerated, too. They're like cartoons, those guys.
Yeah, and there's no
repercussions.
Yeah,
the guy who, like, tells the woman or something, like, shut up, sugar, or I'll throw you to the lions.
Yeah. It sucks because there's no repercussions for... Well, I guess one of them does get eaten by a lion, and then Joe beats him. I don't know if that guy dies, but I feel like when Joe went to court that these guys should have been taken in for getting Joe drunk because no one knew that Joe was drunk.
Yeah.
And he gets sentenced to death. Again, awful. I think on our Kong episode, I mentioned that in both Son of Kong and King Kong, it's like they end tragically. And I had this idea that Joe Young ended up a little bit better. But he does.
I was trying to remember. I was like, wait, I remember there's a scene in. Because, like, there's some times when I've had slight confusions with the end of Mighty Joe Young mm-hmm. and the end of Son of Kong
mm-hmm.
because they're both like smaller, big gorillas.
Yeah. But I guess,
I was like, oh no. Oh no. It's like, does he get shot? No. No, it looks like he's not going to get shot. Oh no. Is something going to happen to him in the in the flaming building?
Because the orphanage.
It's kind of reminiscent of like the end of Frankenstein.
Oh yeah,
and the
that stupid baby.
Oh man, that baby.
I mean, okay, you can climb out of the ledge. I get it. You're going to catch on fire, but when Joe puts you down, don't crawl and walk back towards the building. Fall yeah, in.
Why is he going in that direction?
And where are the people that are watching this happen? Go grab the baby.
They're afraid of the monkey. The there's this gag at the beginning when right before, I mean, not the beginning of the movie, but right at the beginning of the club grand opening scene with Max O'Hara and that other guy who's like his, what?
Maybe like a producer or something?
Yeah, maybe. And he talks about like, this is the new Max O'Hara. I'm classy. And he puts on a giant cartoon pill helmet.
Yeah.
That is basically looks like the helmet, that dark helmet in Spaceballs wears.
Yeah.
Minus the eye holes.
Yeah. That was a good joke. I laughed at that. I thought that was very funny. Because it was definitely comically big.
Oh, by the way, speaking of that remake that was on, I when I was looking up what else Terry Moore had done, she apparently has at least a cameo in that remake.
I looked her up as well, and she's like still acting.
Wow.
She was in Ray Donovan, was one of her more recent credits.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess she was on one of those other HBO shows, like Sopranos or something like that. But yeah, she's still acting. She's great.
Oh, okay. So when Maya Jo Young goes on that rampage, starts destroying the club and breaking the whole sets apart and stuff, there's a great thing that happens in the animation where he pulls something down and he kind of falls backwards a little bit. And he has to catch himself, and then he goes back to, you know, destroying stuff. But I just thought it was just a great little detail. It's not something you would imagine someone would think to do, that that he would, like, somehow lose his grip.
Yeah.
Or, like, kind of, like, fall a little bit. That feels like it would be, like, a mistake. But unless it was a mistake that they somehow were, like, oh, well, this kind of falls when you do this. Maybe we should like put a fall on it. Or I don't know how they came up to make him fall a little bit. But it's such a really great detail because it added a quality that made it feel more real and made him feel it was pretty great.
There was for some reason there was one shot of the car that was chasing the van with all the cops in it. There was one shot that I swear was stop motion. It's right when they get stuck, their tire gets stuck in the sand.
Yeah.
And it looks stop motion. And when the car stops, all the people inside the car are animated to kind of lurch forward as the brakes or as it stops.
Great.
And I thought, I'm like, A, I don't know why that was animated, but B, that was awesome. Like, just,
well, they had to put that car in the same mud thing.
Yeah.
Or the sand pit that the Joe had lifted the truck out of, I guess.
Interesting. But yeah, that's really cool. It's like the whole thing in the original King Kong, when after Kong defeats the T-Rex, he kind of plays with the jaw a little bit, and it's something that it's probably something
I love the stuff like they're like trying to get him to do something and it looks a lot, it's like it takes it a while for him to register what he's supposed to do, and he just kind of keeps checking it out, and it's like, Joe, come on, Joe, push, Joe, come on, Joe, push.
Yeah.
Or Joe, get in.
Put him
get
down.
Get in, Joe. Get in. He's like, and then he finally does it.
Yeah. That's good stuff. I don't have much more on this movie. It does the version you watched, did I give you this movie or did you have it already?
I think I watched what you gave me.
Does it turn orange during the fire sequence?
The fire scene is the red scene, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. I didn't...
That's how it played on TCM, too, I think.
Yeah, it's such an interesting choice. I know there's like there's this movie called like The Deadly Red Planet or something where they go to Mars.
Angry Red Planet.
Yeah. And then it's like shot in Terror Vision or something. And it's all in red.
Yeah, a lot of silent movies did do things to play with color, or just black and white movies did do things to kind of play with tints in a way, just to create, like, that's just to, I guess, show fire intensity or something like that. I know other movies had done these type of little tricks and stuff, so I'm guessing that's possible. That's how it was.
I wonder if that's something that they had the projectionist put a filter over the lens when that scene came up, and like for the DVD release, they try to recreate that experience, or is that did they really have like film that was just red? It's such a weird, concept. Like it's interesting. Like, and I know why they do it, but it's like I don't know if it was, if that was how the prints were made when they made the black and white version. It seemed like a big effort to go through to include that into the prints of the film. But I kept seeing instructions for like the projectionists, because didn't they have stuff a lot of times where they would have like sort of like sense around where they would do like some sort of gimmicks. Was it Phantom of the Opera? There's some movie like a Vincent Price movie where they would have someone in the theater dressed up like the character and would come out during a specific scene.
Like yeah, like the orange cast movies.
Yeah, like it felt very gimmicky, but I want to know how they did that. If it was just that's how it was filmed, or if it was something that they have to get the involvement with the theaters to do. But
so, according to Harryhausen, this is some people talking about the DVD release, that the film was sent to Technicolor to tweak. To create, add a two-color effect, to basically create like a filter and make like the flames appear yellow, and the dark areas yellowish. I mean reddish. So yeah, that was done.
Okay.
For the movie.
So interesting. It's weird because like the Wizard of Oz came out like 10 years before this. So it's weird that it's a full red tint.
Right, because there's so many movies that, you know, that color movies and black and white movies existing together at the same time, you know, in so many things.
Yeah.
So many movies after
that. So would this gimmick be exciting enough for you to go to the movies?
No,
you're watching it, it's like,
no, oh, yeah, I think cool. It was just a thing that when you got to that scene, it was like that. It wasn't like, shocking. Don't miss the red scene. I don't think it was anything like that.
Yeah. That scene was interesting.
Some people were wondering if it was one way when it was originally released, and then when it was released on DVD, they kind of tried to simulate that look.
Mm-hmm.
For the DVD release, that it wasn't maybe colorized the exact same way or not.
Yeah. That scene is interesting just in the fact that they just happen upon a burning orphanage. It's not really like...
out of nowhere.
Yeah, just kind of way out of nowhere.
They're like, why is it so red in this area?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a burning orphanage.
But it's a great sequence. When Joe is climbing up the tree and
yeah, it's the
flames are chasing them.
Yeah.
That's great.
That whole thing, yeah.
Stupid baby. Which they keep calling a baby, but it's like, looks like 2 or 3 years old. But still sounded like a baby.
Yeah. I liked when Joe would get into the truck and the truck would kind of have to lower, it would lower a little bit. They would do that. That was cool.
Yeah, that's another, like, a lot of that stuff with him interacting with objects, even whether they're real or they just, yeah, it looked right. Everything just looked right.
They did. I remember when, still talking about the when they remade Mighty Joe Young, I remember seeing like stuff about the making of it because I was pretty excited about that movie coming out. Mm-hmm. And so they showed like, there's like a sequence that they were filming of him kind of like rampaging through the streets and he hits some cars and stuff like that. So they show up to shooting it and how the cars are all rigged with, you know, things that go off to make them bounce or get a dent somehow. Like somehow they get pulled in dents and things like that. Just they do the whole thing. And then they show them animating the gorilla on top of the scene to match what was going on to the different cars that were being shoved around or stepped on.
I still haven't seen that one.
And for that to be done here, you know,
yeah,
in 1949 that way was pretty great. I think they did really good with that.
Yeah, everything the, touches, it
the
interacts.
One guy, the one of the cops is complaining that he doesn't want to go do this when it's like when Joe has to be young. And the guy goes, you know, I don't like this job much. And he's like, it's like shooting a mad dog.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't like doing it.
How about the van hobo?
Yeah, I had questions about him. What was his deal?
He's just trying to sneak a ride.
Yeah.
And he picked the wrong van.
Yep.
Yeah, the whole tree falling. That. Yeah, you were concerned that, oh no. Like, they could, like, also you kind of feel like it is possible they could have killed Joe at the end of the orphanage when he falls down with the tree. Mm-hmm. That could have killed him, and I don't know what kind of preview audiences this would have had or not, but you know, it could have been something like going, oh, we didn't like the fact that he died, and like going, oh, no problem, we're gonna tag on this scene where like they send this this video, or not a video,
1949 movie, FaceTime,
and he's like, hey Joe, hey Max, oh, they responded to me.
Yeah. That's pretty good. At least Joe's happy, because I didn't know. The way things were going, I thought he was just going to be screwed. But everything worked out okay for Joe, which is good. Which is good. And I'm glad that Max O'Hara had some sort of remorse. You know, he wanted to free Joe because, you know, he didn't want that on his conscience, which, I mean, you know, could be considered selfish, but at the same time, at least he's doing what's right. So as far as ape movies go, where does this fit for you? Like, is it pretty top of the list? Like,
there's so many ape movies now. I mean, you're counting all ape movies?
Like, yeah, I mean, like
Planet of the Apes movies.
Well, I mean, it's just like, oh, like for me, I haven't seen Mighty Joe Young in 10 years or so, but I've seen King Kong a bunch. Like, King Kong is like my favorite one.
Yeah.
I think the animation in this one is, I mean, clearly more advanced. But
yeah, you definitely see the techniques have improved.
Yeah, but like, is this something? I don't know. I don't know how often you revisit this. Is this something you?
No, I mean, I did see it fairly recently, just because I saw that it was going to be on. Maybe 6 months ago, but I don't think I'm gonna see it 6 months from now. I think it's I'm ready to put it away for a few years again.
Yeah.
Till I forget how
all the bummer parts,
how upsetting the lion stuff is,
and the horses and the
all that business,
chop suey restaurants.
Yeah. Oh, that baby gorilla at the beginning, just sitting there falling asleep.
Yeah. That one was okay. He's just falling asleep.
When she's stealing that flashlight to trade.
Oh, yeah.
She's trying to find something that she can get this baby gorilla for them. Like, I mean, we don't know it's a gorilla yet, supposedly. But, yeah. And she's like, I'm being very bad. It isn't mine.
But she was like, screw it. They're going to have to deal with it. So
yeah, you know, dad's not here. I'm just gonna
never even thinking that the dad will get rid of the gorilla. Like, once we own the gorilla, it's too late. We'll have to keep it forever. But it did seem more like that Joe kind of just like lived in the area. They didn't keep him in their yard because
he had full run of his wherever he was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they had a big farm there, so they probably had a lot of land that he could just kind of hang out in. And it didn't seem like he just hung around. I guess he didn't have a mom.
Oh, okay. Because
who knows why.
And either did Jill.
Those guys Jane. Came from.
Jane? Jill. Yeah.
Yes.
It's technically a good movie. It's a big bummer with the things we mentioned, but I enjoyed it overall. I think, yeah, it'll be fun to, I think we've only done one other Harryhausen movie, maybe.
Oh yeah. In my head, the way I remembered as a kid, the part where they're throwing the, cause he has that little hat on.
Yeah.
I was like, did he have a little big cup?
Yeah, he had a big cup.
He had a cup too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember the cup, but I don't remember seeing the cup this time going around. See if you could catch that cup. Yeah, I thought that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely feel real sorry for Joel in this one. This is the one, I think, of the, if we go by the three black and whites, this is the most
sympathetic.
Yeah, of the characters that you feel the worst for.
Yeah. Gets shit on the most, too.
Yeah.
But survives.
Yeah, he gets the most. He gets exploited the most.
Yeah. Yeah, it was almost like they made King Kong and were like, oh, people really only like the part where it's a show. So let's just do a movie where the whole thing's a show. Let's
bring the show in. Yeah.
Less jungle stuff.
That's not true. There's no way they were looking at King Kong and being like, oh, people only like the show part. They don't like the part where he's fighting dinosaurs. No one said that.
I know, but there's a lot of show in this one.
Yeah, there's a lot.
All right. You want to talk about next episode?
Sure. I don't remember what that one was now.
Just in time for 4th of July.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about it.
Da-dum. And da-dum.
We're watching Airplane.
Just opening.
Yeah, just opening. We're watching Jaws from 1975, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to explain ourselves to you. Between Matango and Inframan and the Meg, and
we have to apologize every time we don't do a giant monster.
We're looking at our upcoming schedule and we're like, oh, we have one coming out right before Independence Day. Is there any good Independence Day movies?
Yeah, 4th of July weekend. It feels like, you know, you can't close the beaches.
Yeah. And we've brought up Jaws a lot lately. There's a couple of episodes.
All the Jaws references in the first in Godzilla 2014, and then all those other ones in Godzilla King of Monsters, remember? And all the white goop in Godzilla King of Monsters.
Yeah.
Well, this was the first movie that didn't have white goop after we've seen them all in a row.
And by the way, I can't believe you're right about King Caesar.
How crazy is that? How crazy is that?
I
let the lady be there to sing the song to let King Caesar come out.
Oh my god.
In this movie. The song was in English. I don't know.
It was kind of fan servicey. But I mean, she didn't have to kneel down on the beach for a full 10 minutes. But...
Yeah, and they could have saved him for another movie.
Oh my gosh. I can't. So good or bad. Oh my gosh. It's got to be good, right? I mean, it was so good.
The movie?
Yeah. It's like The Simpsons.
Just the movie in general or the King Caesar part?
I'm going to have to hold something in front of my mouth. Godzilla King of the Monsters was terrific.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So great how Godzilla won the fight at the end. That one's pretty safe.
Yeah. All right. We're doing Jaws next. So, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
If you don't like that idea, we'll see you in a couple weeks after that.
Mm-hmm. See you next month.
Yeah. See you next Tuesday, Monday. All right. Yeah. So until then, I don't know if you'll be able to watch Jaws on kaijupod.com. We'll post some links where you can see it. I'm sure you've seen Jaws. If you haven't, seriously consider watching Jaws.
You haven't seen Jaws?
If you haven't seen Jaws, watch it. I showed my sister Jaws like maybe 2 years ago for the first time. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she
didn't like it because I think she was genuinely scared.
Mm,
I think it worked on her.
When I first saw Jaws, it was like, I think we got it from the library, and we were watching it, and there's every parts I saw, and I was going, I'm too young for this movie.
Yeah, I can't wait. But go to kaijupod.com anyway, and Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all of that stuff. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to talk about Jaws. It'll be a nice, fun, easygoing episode. So yeah, until next time. Oh, there's no white goo in this movie.
Yeah, that's, I know. That's the first movie that did not have white goo after
like the last three episodes.
That solid run of white goo in every movie, including King of Monsters.
Yeah, that's four straight episodes of white goo.
White goo movies. It was a four-peat.
Until next time.
There's
so many things I want to do, and they're all to help Joe Young get out of this shit situation.
Well, mine are all the things that the strong men do.
Oh.
I'm going to try and bend this railroad spike.
Oh, okay. Then I am going to pop these binders off of my biceps. That was my favorite
one. Oh, yeah.
That was my favorite one. It's like, clink.
That one was great. Clink. Yeah, he was the star. Dude.
And the thing is,
the whole thing when him and Joe, they're like, you're pushing each other, and he keeps punching him.
Yeah.
And then Joe, like, hits him. They keep going back and forth.
But then Joe throws him on the table and smashes the table. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if this is part of the act, but the waiters had a table ready to replace it. So I was like, oh, it must be part of that.
They work pretty fast.
I was trying to convince myself that guy really wasn't beating on Joe to beat on him. It did not
that he
like
was
that.
Part of the, he was just,
pretty, it was just
he,
part of the act that he was punching Joe.
I don't know. It felt like he was improvising at that point.
I know. Me too. But then when I saw them have that table ready, I was like, okay, it's all
that's
part just, of
that's
the
how
act.
Great a club that is. This is a club that just a
shitload
people
of tables
broken.
In the wings.
They're like, okay, let's see. This is where Joe is right now. If he was going to shove a guy, he'd probably land up here. Yeah, I guess trying to tear phone books is something you can do since phone books are obsolete, but they still show up sometimes.
Only for that purpose.
Yeah. Something to try to tear.
Yeah.
And he's already mid-tear when he did it, so I was like, oh, did someone start that for you? The Swedish Angel, I thought he was in other stuff. When I saw him, I recognized him. But when I looked him up, I go, maybe I just recognized him from this.
Maybe. It was weird that there was a couple of voiceovers for, like, the middle three guys. Like, they mentioned one of the dudes who, like, bent the thing around his neck, and you hear someone go, that's my boy!
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, yeah, there was, like, a couple of... But it was only for, like, the middle three people. It was weird. All right, I'm going to stop this.
What's this supposed to be?
Has Max gone nuts?
Give it a chance, fellas. Give it a chance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Joseph Young of Africa.